What's happening locally? The news.
And it is that time for us to take our midweek look, our Wednesday morning look, some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. The Minera Panama Company reported on Tuesday a coastal vessel transporting supplies necessary for the mining project docked at the port of Punta Rincon, ensuring that they have the required items to continue with the maintenance phase. The information only indicates that the vessel unloaded parts and spare parts, but does not specify what the supplies would be used for. Last week, the company indicated that during the next few days, a series of activities could be carried out that would be part of the preservation and safe management, the PSG plan, which would be implemented during the definitive closure of the project located in a concession of 13,000 hectares in the districts of Donoso and Omatorios in the province of Colón. The company assures that it must continue operating the port of Punta Rincon to receive supplies and ship materials that will not be used in the mine. Cobre Panama needs to continue supplying the site with various key inputs for the PGS phase, such as fuel and others, through the international port of Punta Rincon. Now, this involves the arrival of ships at the port facilities. Recycling of materials such as steel must be loaded on ships during the next PGS period after the suspension of operations, the company detailed. Less than 3 months before the elections, voters have not decided who to give their vote to. Those who do not know which presidential candidate to choose, that adds up to 17%, and those who will not vote for any, 32%, for a total of 49% of the people surveyed. Zule Rodriguez, a PRD activist who ran as a presidential candidate through free nomination, currently leads the electorate's sympathies as she accumulates 14% of the preferences at the national level. In second are tied, each with 9% of the preference, and that is Ricardo Lombana of the Movimiento Otro Camino and Martin Torrijos of the Partido Popular, who recently resigned from the PRD. Given that at the time of this survey, a decision from the Supreme Court of Justice was pending that would determine the political fate of the candidate Ricardo Martinelli of Realizing Goals Party. A mock voting was carried out with two different scenarios, and with ballots that, well, they differed in one detail. One contained the candidacy of Ricardo Martinelli, and the other with that of his substitute, José Aurel Molino, in case the Supreme Court's decision prevented Martinelli from maintaining his presidential candidacy. Consequently, the mock voting with Martinelli's ballot has been discarded precisely due to the constitutional mandate that prevents this candidate from being elected. Furthermore, during the time that the pollsters were in the field, the decision of the court became known, which did not admit an appeal filed by the former president's lawyers in the new business case, in which Martinelli was sentenced to more than 10 years in prison. In fourth place in the preferences of the surveyed electorate is Romulo Rue of the Cambio Democrático y Panamanistas with 8%, followed by Martinelli's substitute candidate, José Raúl Molino, with 6% of the votes. Now, further back in sixth place with 4% of respondents' preferences is the official candidate, José Gabriel Carrizo of the PRD, and Molly Reyna. And finally, each with 1% of the preferences, are the free nomination candidates, Maribel Gordon and Meliton Arrocha, who is also nominated by the País Party. Well, just how long will it take the Tribunal Electoral to resolve the issue of Ricardo Martinelli? Judge Alfredo Juncker, president of the Tribunal Electoral, does not risk talking about a specific date. However, he assures that what he can guarantee is that the electoral jurisdiction is not like the ordinary one. The one, or this one, is faster. Ordinary justice takes much more time. In the electoral jurisdiction, there are resources that do not exist. There are measures that are not allowed. For example, warranty protections are not allowed. Neither do the warnings of unconstitutionality, he explained, while reporting that what is appropriate are the demands of unconstitutionality, but he warned that that does not stop the process. Regarding the ballot for the 5th of May, Hunker reiterated that the process in electoral justice is quite fast. What I do assure you is that if he is disqualified, he should not appear on the ballot. Then we must give space to the Tribunal Electoral Justice System to do its job. Once the conditions are determined and the decision is made, then we will look at the issue of the ballot, he added. Former Deputy Osman Gomez was captured in the province of Chiriquí on Tuesday, as reported by the National Border Service Centrefront to the La Prensa. Gomez, candidate for deputy of Circuit 4-2 in Chiriquí for the Alianza Party, has pending accounts with the Anti-Corruption Prosecutor's Office in Veraguas for the alleged commission of embezzlement crimes. In 2017, Gomez was arrested at the National Police Headquarters in the city of David in Chiriquí's province for carrying a firearm without a permit. In 2012, during the government of Ricardo Martinelli, he left the Panamanista Party and joined the Nationalist Republican Liberal Movement, Molirena. He consulted José Muñoz Molino, president of the Alianza Party. However, he said that he had little information about what happened. I only know what has come out on social media, but I have not communicated with him, he said. Judicial sources reported that he was due to have a guarantee hearing after the former deputy's defense appealed the arrest. The identification data of Panamanian citizens, naturalized or permanent residents that rest in the electoral tribunal could be integrated into the tax registry of taxpayers. This is one of the proposals of the General Directorate of Revenue, the DGI, to streamline the tax registration process for natural persons so that once citizens reach the age of majority, they are automatically integrated with the identity number into the tax organization. This was announced by Publio de Garcia in a conference given to auditors and representatives of the Nexia firm in Panama, pointing out that just as the ID card is obtained and that number is for the entire, process, the process is simplified and can be integrated with the tax record. The idea is to have greater interoperability and that we can take advantage of the information already uploaded in the civil registry for natural persons. For example, in the electoral court and make the lives of people in the taxpayer registry easier, de Garcia said, clarifying that there is nothing concrete yet, but he advanced it in a conversation with Judge Alfredo Hunker, and this was about some ideas that the tax agency has. The director of the DGI explained to La Prensa that there are countries where it is mandatory that when people reach the age of majority, in addition to updating their identity card, at the same time that data is included in the taxpayer registry, even if they are not still generating resources to pay taxes. At least 11 alleged fraudsters were arrested in the early hours of Tuesday as the part of the development of Operation Farsa 2, Farsa Dos. Among those detained is a public servant. Now, these are 8 women and 3 men located through judicial proceedings carried out in the provinces of Chiriquí, Panama, and West Panama. Now, the crime for which they are being investigated is against economic assets in the form of fraud, as reported. Now, according to what is known from the investigations, these people offered prizes to victims who filed the corresponding complaints. Likewise, the alleged scammers claimed to have sick relatives requesting deposits and bank transfers. Operation Farsa Dos was carried out by personnel from the 5th Section of Crimes Against Economic Assets of the Metropolitan Area of the Public Ministry, and this was in conjunction with the National Police. Investigations into the case originated back in 2022. The recent restrictions of this is in the Panama Canal due to the water crisis are triggering significant changes in global trade and in maritime routes for shipping companies. With a 33% reduction in transits, equivalent to 100 million tons of cargo, which has generated a 5% increase in transportation costs, the economic impact is undeniable. These figures reveal the urgency of adapting to new routes and logistics strategies as well to maintain efficiency and supply chains. This is indicated by an analysis carried out by the consulting firm McKinsey and Company that warns about the increase in maritime transport costs and the increase in merchandise delivery times and the change in routes in the global supply chain. The report states that the reduction in the number of transits that has gone from 36 ships a day to 24 ships translates into, as we mentioned, 100 million tons of cargo no longer passing through the route, which is equivalent to 35% of what transited through the interoceanic route in the year 2022. McKinsey, which analyzes various scenarios according to the patterns of international maritime trade, indicates that Latin America and the East Coast of the United States especially depend on the canal for the supply of merchandise, raw materials, and fuel such as natural gas and oil. A major trade route connecting North Asia and the East Coast and the Gulf Coast of the United States passes through the Panama Canal. In total, approximately 14% of maritime trade to and from the United States sails through the canal, indicates the consulting firm. In turn, the road or the canal represents $2,544 million in contributions to the Panamanian state, according to the report at the end of fiscal year 2023. The McKinsey report indicates that the limitations imposed by the drought in the canal are leading to a new configuration of global maritime routes with the aggravation of greater costs and time. A ship travelling from Asia to the Caribbean that would normally cross through the Panama Canal could instead go west around the Cape of Good Hope at the southern tip of Africa. In this scenario, what would take 26 days passing through the canal would take 39 days going around Africa. Well, there we go. That's it. There's our look for this Wednesday morning. Some of the items in the local news in the Republic of Panama compiled for you on this morning's programme.